think as many, if not all of you know, that just over a week ago, Arun Sarabender was given the Dharma transmission by her teacher, Joan Sutherland, as a Roshi. And it's my understanding that that's still a pretty rare thing for a female to be a Roshi in our tradition. Is that accurate?
Yeah, in our own little lineage, I guess I'm the second.
That's pretty rare. So I'd like to just read, in case you didn't see it, and just to hear it again, one more time, what Joan had to say. It is with deep happiness I tell you that last weekend, Sarabender received transmission from me in a simple ceremony on a bluff overlooking the Pacific Ocean. She is now a Roshi of the Pacific Zen School with the lineage name Noble Servant from the Temple of Heron Dreaming, a name whose meaning she can tell you about. It is a small moment in a thousand-year-old tradition, but its radiance extends in both directions, back to the origins of the Koan Way, and now forward into the lives of future pilgrims of that way. My warmest wishes to all of you, dear friends, and to Sarabender Roshi as she steps barefoot onto this new ground. Joan Sutherland Roshi. So, again, you also may not know how privileged we are that Sarah became a sensei just a little over 10 years ago and became our resident teacher just after that. Not every group is fortunate to have a resident teacher, sensei. And then we after that, received Andrew Palmer as a sensei in our tradition also. We have two teachers, it's pretty phenomenal. And to now have a Roshi in our midst is a great, great privilege. We bow to you, dear Sarah. And I'd just like to offer you a little something to let you know how dear you are to us.
Thank you.
I think hopefully she's going to tell us a little bit about this process and her name and maybe what might happen going forward.
Okay. These have so much the feeling of a beginning.
Yes.
Fresh. How fresh. So yeah, good evening all you bodhisattvas.
Good evening, Roshi.
I've always thought, you know, we don't usually call ourselves fellow travelers, but, you know, this is a conspiracy of friends, yeah? And what we're doing together is subversive and creative in the most beautiful way. I feel really, really privileged to be able to do it with you. And you know, you brung me up.
Vice versa.
And so thank you so much for that. For all the good training that you all have offered and continue to offer. I really appreciate it and needed it and continue to need it. So keep on bringing me up. So yes, people have been asking questions and I've been saying, yeah, I'll talk about that at some point. So I guess this is a point. So the first thing really is my thanks, which my gratitude to you is deep. And to all of our ancestors and companions on the way. And to my first teacher, Robert Aitken, and teachers that kind of supported me along the way before I met Joan, Father Pat Hawk and Thich Nhat Hanh. And of course to Joan, who, you know, when you work, often when people work closely with a teacher in this kind of tradition that offers the possibility of a kind of intimate one-to-one work together. And I've discovered more and more, even for those of you who've never met Joan in person, but who have been fortunate enough to meet her teaching through her talks and her writing, the way the teaching and the way has so much the fragrance of her awakening, and the stain of her color is in the way for us who come along after her. And whew, the beauty of her teaching is just so deep. And for that I'm very grateful to have happened upon it. So the process, I took refuge with Joan in 1998. And really formally became her student at that time. And then, as Linda mentioned, it was... So at that point, I took my vows, and I had already been practicing for 18 years, but it is a turning point when you do that. And and so then when Joan asked me to become a sensei, that felt very much like a commitment to you, to the community, and to her to carry the teaching on. So then what happens when you become a Roshi? I'll come to that in a minute. But so just what happened, sort of what happened here of it is that I actually kind of didn't think, Joan retired from teaching and retired from really teaching us senseis, and I thought, well, that's kind of where I'm going to be, and that's fine with me. I am very happy to be a sensei and to be teaching, and in particular to be teaching with Andrew as a companion here and with our two other senseis. So I didn't really think it was going to happen, to have this step. But a couple months ago, I'm trying to remember exactly when it was, she wrote and said she wanted to make me a Roshi. And set up a time for me to go and meet with her, and then she's going to meet with the four of us, of her teachers, in October. And I thought, well, then she'll give me my marching orders in in June, and we'll have the ceremony in October. And a week before I went out there, she said, no, no, sweetie, we're doing it now. Oh, okay, and it reminded me of John Terrence, quit, don't get ready. So there was a bit of that quick, don't get ready quality to it, especially since I was about to get on a plane and go to Canada for 10 days. So then I flew out and spent a night with our friend and teacher David Weinstein and his wife Sarasa, and they, by the way, send you their love. And then drove on up to Joan's little house, as she says, on the bluffs. I mean, really on the edge, right there, near Mendocino. And so, you know, her backyard ends and you don't take another step because there's a cliff and rocks and gulls and kayakers and abalone divers down below. And so I was with her Saturday and Sunday and then Monday morning. And so we had a chance. We hadn't really had a conversation for at least 5 years. Joan's health is really, really difficult. And it's not, you know, it's sort of, she looks beautiful and always, and she looks radiant, and she is not well. And so when she said that she had to retire, it's because she had to retire. And so she has enough health in her and enough energy to write, and that is where she is pouring her energy for the couple of hours a day that she has. Fortunately, she has friends who come and help her on the weekends often. And she has spent the last year and a half working on renovating this little house that she's living in. And it's very beautiful now. It is perfect and perfectly Joan. And so she's in a beautiful spot. She has friends who love her there to help out. And she has the work that she loves. So I know that I knew that you would have questions about Joan. And is she getting better? That's not going to happen, really. That is not going to happen. And she lives with illness and with a great deal of courage and grace. And our, you know, yearning to have more of her is really just an indication of our love, and we can also express that love by honoring the commitment that she has to her dragon, to the way, to the ancestors, and her descendants and our descendants. And she has often said her one job as a Roshi was to make a Roshi. Mm-hmm. And so this had that significance for her, that she has done her job. And we can hope that she will be able to do that more. We don't have a guarantee because her health is so uncertain. So she can't offer us a guarantee, and we have to accept that. So that's sort of where those questions are right now. And so as far as people want to know what was the ceremony, and, you know, as she had warned me, you know, there really isn't a ceremony. And so we went out on the bluffs onto a little platform that she's had built there, and she said words to me, and I said words. Well, first we offered incense at the altar, and then we went out. And then we went back in, and she gave me the lineage document, which is this. And I will put it out there on the chancel afterwards, so you can look at it if you want to. But she was kind enough to give me a typed copy of the words, which I promptly forgot to bring down tonight. So I'll be reading it off of this, which is, you'll see. And let's see, let me give you the tissue paper too, Linda. So, you might need a little help here. Oh, I've got a long enough wingspan, I guess. So this is what it looks like. And traditionally, a lineage document, you know, would hang this way. But she did something very interesting. Our lineage is a confluence of the Soto and Rinzai lineages. So she wanted to include both and to put them side by side. So the Soto lineage document is on this side and the Rinzai one is on this side. And so they're both here together. And this in the middle is the old Chinese character for dragon.
That's beautiful.
And yeah. And so Joan's name is Bright Solitude in the Temple of the Cloud Dragon. And so as she promised, I will explain to you about name. There won't be any more cloud names. The Pacific Zen School stopped that. And I don't really know I didn't even ask why. But she said, with me, there is for our lineage the new name of dreaming. Mm-hmm. And those of you who have are familiar with her teaching and or have read what she's written will understand that, because she often expresses that understanding that we all are the great dream of the universe, and our job as wayfarers in this way is to dream on the Dharma, and so the dreaming part comes from that. And then she had, actually, I'm going to need to hold on to it because I have to read.
Oh, okay.
So she asked me to ponder, to contemplate, with what teacher of our lineage I felt an affinity. And so I sort of, swirled that around and dreamed on it and thought on it, and what came up was Dongshan, actually. And that was, I just found that, how many times some of you heard me talk about in the dark, darken again, follow the bird path, and in the vastness, reach out a hand. That's Dongshan. And you'll find it as you look, that a number of the koans that you've heard me talk about and that we have spent time with and that she brought to us are koans of Dongshan. The one about mending, Dongshan's mending is one, and the one about two crows fighting over a frog. Mm. There are quite a few of them that will be familiar to you. It turns out, which I did not know, that Dongshan's name was Good Servant. And I said, I can live with that. That's my aspiration. And then she kind of pulled a quick one on me and put Noble Servant on there. And the reason was really that the good of Good Servant refers to everybody from a chambermaid to the advisor to the emperor. And she didn't want that good to seem insignificant, I guess, or something like that. In the temple of also is translated as under the eaves of, which I really love, mm-hmm. under the eaves of. And so then she was waiting to see who would show up for my personal name. So that's that first part is sort of a personal name at this time, and then that second part is my teaching name, the heron in the temple of the heron dreaming. So heron dreaming is my teaching name, and so she waited and waited, and for the five or more days before I arrived, there was a heron that was visiting her at the edge of the bluff every day. And as she was trying to figure out, what's her name going to be? A, 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 a Steller's Jay. She has Steller's Jays that inhabit her yard, and one of them got right in front of her car and wouldn't leave. And she's like, "Steller's Jay?" And the Jay said, "Not me, the heron." And so that was how that part of my name arrived. So this is what the traditionally the Soto lineage gives you the list of names from the Buddha on down to you. And she didn't do that. So this is what she did. Transmission through the bloodline from Joan Iten Sutherland, Yunlong Huiji of the Pacific Zen School, in the inner room of Dragon Girl's Rest, name of her house, affirms to Sarah Maslin Bender that the eternal bloodline of the Buddha is the essence of our lineage. Glowing from Shakyamuni at Garakuda Peak through our ancestors in India, China, Japan, and the Americas. Our recent ancestors affirmed that the Rinzai and Soto lineages are a single stream, and now this stream comes to you. I give you the great Bodhisattva vow and the ceremonial documents of this transmission. Hold the vow and protect this inheritance. Do not let it be lost in your time. Cherish and guard the power of what is given to you today. As a master of the Pacific Zen School and a disciple of the Buddha. And so that's my charge. And then she put a little verse underneath. The wise know nothing at all, which got a beautiful gold blot right in the middle of nothing. Well, maybe one song. That's from EQ. The wise know nothing at all. Well, maybe one song. So the Rinzai side of it says transmission of the light. Inka Shome, that's what transmission of the light sounds like. Noble servant in the temple of heron dreaming. And in Chinese that sounds like Xinzhuang Meng Lianjie. This is the seal of the awakened heart-mind. From the dark original field glow the mysteries of the night sky, torchlight in the first caves, the morning star of an Indian dawn, incense glow in a darkened room. This flame passes heart to heart. From before the beginning of time, fragile. Oh, roaring, that was it. Roaring from the beginning of time, fragile as the beat of those hearts. Now, in the presence of all who leap and crawl, swim and fly, all the ancestors in the still halls and the fragrant tea shops, the pilgrims on every shore, it comes to you. Together, we acknowledge this great arrival today. The seal is in you. The seal belongs to you now and you to it. All the graces of the world be upon you and the world's blessing. Full moon of June 2017, sweet grass month on the Pacific Ocean. So, you now know what it says. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a bit that I don't know about this. And I know, I'm sure you can imagine that that I take this charge very much to heart, and am humbled by it. And I offer myself to it and to you. And I beg your forgiveness for all the times that I won't live up to it. And I ask for your blessing and your companionship and your support as we go on learning together. So there are a few things that I can say about it now, and I think there are some questions I might be able to address here. There's a little marker. Nice little transition marker. So what does it mean to be a Roshi? Well, obviously I don't know because I'm just starting, but I'll tell you what I know. I want to start with a koan. Surprise! From Dongshan, and thanks to Jerry, because I hadn't met this one before until yesterday. The abbot of a temple was ill. Whenever he'd see a monk, he'd yell, "Save me! Save me!" The monks of the temple couldn't say anything useful to deal with the situation. Dongshan went to pay him a visit. The abbot said again, "Save me!" Dongshan said, "What appearance should I save?" The abbot said, "Aren't you a descendant of Yaoshan and a Dharma heir of Yunyan?" Dongshan said, "I don't dare say so." The abbot clapped his hands and said, "Everyone has brought you here," and passed away. So what about that? Why this koan? So to be a Roshi to me partly means to call out to you and invite you to come forth. Yeah? To be the voice for all beings who are saying, "Save me," all the time. Yeah? And so I think my job is to invite us all to come forth in response to that call. And to come forth with your own questions, with who you are altogether, not something else needed, just what you bring. You know, come as you are altogether. And with your willingness to meet on this bare ground that we all walk onto barefoot. Because everything is saying, "Save me." So to be host and guest to that, I get to invite us into that territory. What is it for us to be host and guest to that call? And fortunately, everyone has brought me here. So I have no sense of having to do this alone, this calling. So what does this mean to me? It means to me that my job is to receive our way as fully as I am able to come to be it. And then to explore the new territory that the tradition meets now. So one way that, people talk about a Roshi sometimes is that the Roshi, in order to become a Roshi, you have to surpass your teacher. But Joan's understanding of that is, fortunately, since there's ain't no way, but is that it means that you're going to surpass in the sense of going on into the territory that will be yours to travel. Yeah? The territory that we will travel together. She's retiring, has retired. And for us to then, for me to take our way on with you and with my fellow teachers into the territory we meet now. And so to ask, what does it mean to be a koan teacher right now? What is that? This particular gift that we receive of the koan way, what is that bringing? What are we bringing with our koan way to the world that we meet? And to hand it on personally. That's my job. Practically speaking, I gotta write. And I will tell you, I am a person with writer's block. I'm a writer who doesn't write. So the challenge to actually be a writer who does write is a good sized challenge for me. And that's my vow. It's something that I owe to Joan and the ancestors. It's not that I think that there's something that hasn't been said that it's like, oh, I can do something, you know, in all of this bath of books we all are in. But it's that there is something that I have to write even so. And so there's that. And that's going to mean a shift of emphasis, right? Because if you're going to do something, that means you're not going to do something else. And that remains to be clarified. But I certainly will continue to teach. But I think that what I feel is that with this sort of deepening of my commitment to conveying this way, I will be making a particular kind of commitment to each student, and I will be asking for a particular kind of commitment in return. And I hope that you'll feel that that's fair. But it feels to me a very important aspect of how our way develops. How do we strengthen the power of this way for us in our lives? And in my mind, that involves something about what is it to make a commitment to it in these lay lives that we lead full of stuff. And I want to explore that with you, that sense of how do we commit to it strongly enough so that it commits to us completely. And I told Joan that that was sort of where I saw the exploration I was interested in, and she said, oh, yes, please. She felt this is where we need to go. And it means that I will be working with my colleagues, our open source teachers, as we develop the open source, as we discover what is the open source and what's the power in our collective body of teaching. And that's really exciting to me. And also I will be, you know, she named me a teacher of the Pacific Zen School, which was interesting. And the Pacific Zen School includes Pacific Zen Institute, which is John Tarrin and David Weinstein's community, and us. So I also am going to be wanting to be in pretty close communication with them, as the other sort of wing of our school. And there's some other, and I will be seeking teachings, teachers myself. So in this place, I just can't tell you how grateful I am for Andrew Palmer. In our recent retreat, Andrew and I got to teach together, which is a huge privilege for me. Andrew's uncanny ability to ask the question that opens something and to bring the lightness of the light in just with such seeming like ease, just blows me away. And the warmth and generosity of Andrew's teaching. And so it's just a huge privilege for me to be able to teach with Andrew and continue to learn with him. And then at more of a distance with our other two, Tenny Nathanson and Megan Rundell. So, that, it means that too. It means, oh, I'm so lucky. and what I don't know, I don't know about, you know, I teach children. I'm a learning disability specialist in private practice, and I'm continuing to do that. And I don't know whether I'll be able to continue to do that and fulfill the commitment that I'm making here. And I don't know how I'm going to manage to make retreat time, which feels to me like a very important part of this deepening of my own understanding in order to be able to be it for you. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I am going to Canada for 2 months, which has a little bit of that. And I'm getting old, and my mind is already not as sharp as it once was. And I'm very aware that, I think everybody knows right now that if you want to keep your brain cells, what's the most important thing to do?
Exercise.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a commitment to that too. If I wish to continue to be a teacher to you that's not if I'd like to become more of a teacher to you that's not just blithering, then I have to work out. I mean, it's like that's the where the rubber meets the road. And how then do I practically speaking meet the challenges of the time? How do I be a good citizen? Yeah? And give this everything that it wants. So those questions are real questions for me. And then there's that one about how do I support myself in my old age, which happens to be a real question. So those are things I don't know. I mean, along with how will this actually express itself. But I mean, practically speaking, how am I going to do this? Yeah. What's most lively for me in all of this is the beauty. The beauty of the Koan Way. It is something I fell in love with, you know, 38 years ago. And it's a helpless kind of a love. I've thought often along the way, why don't I quit this? I can't. So, you know that thing you do, the thing that you must do, that you can't not do? That's this for me. This is that thing I can't not do. So sorry to be that you're the victims of this obsession. But there it is. And the potential of the open source, which I think is huge. There is something that we offer that's not out there very much. And my invitation to you is to be part of this project of bringing this way that I think offers something that just isn't around very much. To embody it and to explore it completely, to let it all the way into you and give yourself to it and that's how we dream it. That's the invitation. So, you know, the koan that came up as I was thinking about stopping was, you know, the one that asks, for whom do you bathe and make yourself beautiful? It's for the ancestors. It's you guys. It's Joan, and it's all of those who come after us. So there's time for you to ask me the questions I didn't answer. We'll find out if I can answer any.
Why can't drinking sake without mind?
It cares?
Well, let's find out.
Something that this isn't about your Roshi-ness.
My brother wrote me after I sent the lineage document to my brother. He wrote back and said, "So now do we call you Your Highness?" It's like, this is what we need brothers for, right?
Can you explain a little bit better the relationship between Pacific Zen and open source?
Sure. Yeah. The Pacific Zen School was founded by John Tarrant and Joan together as an expression of their Dharma, of where they saw the lineage that we've received needing to go, wanting to go. And that in particular meant taking koans out of the box. It meant taking koans out, not leaving them stuck in the tiny room, but letting them be there with the power of that 10 by 10 foot room and to our collective imagining. So Joan's expression of that as the open source includes, like, open source software, usable by anybody. There's no prerequisite to use it. This Dharma. You don't have to, like, you know, give blood, you know, sign with your blood. And it includes the acknowledgement that the source of all of this is completely that openness. And it's a pledge to be open about what we are doing and how we are doing it. And so that became Joan's expression of this Pacific Zen school, which actually does have a different flavor. It's a different expression than what John is doing with his Pacific Zen Institute. And so practically speaking, for example, John has given transmission, has made Roshis of people who haven't done this koan curriculum yet. We aren't doing that. We really have a commitment to this, to the koans that as they've been handed down to us, as well as bringing them on forward. So different flavor in those two branches, but we are the same school. We share the same vision of what we're doing. Does that help?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm confused about the term Dharma heir. Are you Joan's Dharma heir?
Yeah.
So will you be the only one, or might there be others?
I hope not. But we just don't know what her life is going to allow her to do. Yeah. That's just where it is.
And so what does that mean? What does Dharma mean?
What does it mean? It means, you know, Zen is a tradition of heart-to-heart transmission of the way. And when she, as she said in the document, when she, this is an acknowledgement of her sense that from her heart to my heart, she has transmitted the way. And so I'm her child in this Dharma, and my job is to go on and pass it on.
Can I add?
Thank you.
Like, one thing I've said, and hopefully correctly, I don't know, and it it's not really the only difference, but on paper, the only difference between a sensei and a roshi is a roshi can name other people to be teachers. Mm. And so the line goes on. Mm. A sensei can't do that. Mm. So by this move, it says, Joan has now, the line has officially gone on, and now Sarah has that capability
and responsibility.
To name, you know, responsibility, capability to name somebody else, and the line goes on. That may be a good segue for something. I wanted to give Sarah 10 years and roughly 9 months ago, but was told, no, not, don't do that, by Joan. I talked to you about this the other day. And it refers to that line of from Shakyamuni all the way up to you. And so I had copied out one of those and had it, and I thought, oh, Sarah's becoming a sensei. And I said, Joan, I'd like to give this to her. And she said, well, no, when people become roshis, they write out in their own hand that. They copy the chart themselves to find themselves within it. It's a very, like a rich practice. And, so don't do that. It's a, you know, that's got to be done like that. So I said, okay. And so there was part of me, when I heard about the ceremony, I was like, oh, then she got to do the thing. And I found out, no, that didn't happen.
But she still wants to do that thing.
And so the way I came about it, though, I didn't know that was a thing. This was years ago. I was, you know, my affinity for the ancestors in this tradition, I was like, I wonder where I am in all this, you know? And there were, online, there was a specific website that went back to Hakuin and filled up to Aiken Roshi and others right after him. And then there were in the back of books and also online stuff from the Buddha, and it only went up so far. There were gaps and everything. So I spent a year or two researching and trying to figure out what exactly, how did it get to us this way? And I filled in most of the gaps, but there was a very long time I couldn't figure out from, there was a point in time where the Soto lineages, there was two people it went to. And I didn't know which one of those lineages came to Harada Daimon Sagaku, who was in our lineage, and he was the one who received both and brought the lineages back together. But finally I figured out, oh, that's what it is. And then, so I wrote this out. And I didn't know it was a thing. It was just me being the weird person I am. And I wanted to gift it to you, and now I get to. I left it up there by Buddha's knee.
Oh. So
you can stay here. The other thing is, I initially thought I'm just going to say, here you go, Sarah. And then it turned into, well, maybe I'll say a few words like I did. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, oh, maybe it's turning into a little bit more of a formal thing. So here I am, sans rakazu and in my jeans. But that's just fine.
I love it.
I'm barefoot.
Yeah.
So
that's all that's required.
Well, one thing, if you do copy this out, when I did it, it's not in pen yin, so that'd be your contribution to pen yin it.
Okay.
So, this, you are 85th in the line of Shakyamuni Buddha, and you are 58th in the line of Bodhidharma, and one, two, oh no, like 14th, I think, from Hakuin, he's in here. Maybe that's 14 generations ago, so you're 14th in Hakuin's line. And then 1, 2, 3.
Seventh in Harada Dayan Sogaku. Third in Aiken Roshi's line. Well, no, I guess.
Fourth.
Fourth and third in Pacific Zen School. Second of the open source. And the very first of Spring Mountain Sangha.
Thank you, Andrew.
I don't think that's the official way you do it, but I like the way that.
I like
you
know, it a lot.
Up there, at the end, it makes a circle and you end up right next to Buddha. And I don't have any numbers next to me, but you get to have a number and you get to work it out.
Thank you.
So yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, beautiful. Wow. And I get to write it out.
Yeah.
I love it. Putting it into opinion will be a challenge.
What does that mean?
It's a way of writing the Chinese in, you know, Roman characters. And there's the way dials, which is hyphenated all the time, the pinyin. A big difference is like in Taoism, usually it's T-A-O, but in pinyin it's D-A-O, so it sounds more like the actual word.
So that's why sometimes we get these funny differences in spellings, like Dongshan will show up as T-U-N-G-S-H-A-N, and we do D-O-N-G, put it all together, Dongshan. So it gets confusing sometimes. You've got two different sound systems, one of which was made by missionaries from Armenia or someplace. So it's an interesting history of how those different forms of translation happened. Anyway, thank you so much. It's just about time to stop. Should we? Any one last thing that wants to be asked or said? Thank you all for your patience with this. Those of you who are new probably just thought you were coming to meditate. So apologies if that's so.
I think just that how delighted we are for you and how well deserving you are of this.
Thank you.